Good morning and Happy New Year. We're going to be talking about our mission at Syracuse Alliance Church over the next 4 weeks leading up to our annual meeting on January 30th. And we're titling the series, I Love Syracuse. And you can see in the notes and on the screen here, our mission is to expose everyone to the love of Jesus, to empower families, elevate our community, and engage in the work of God in Syracuse and the world. Now, I mentioned in an email I sent out yesterday that a mission statement should be more than just words on paper. Words on paper, just something that we come up with in itself, isn't something that anybody needs. What we need is something that compels us, that grips us, something that we're willing to give our lives for. A statement in itself, just reading that statement doesn't do that. That's why the next few weeks I want to unpack that for you. And as I do, just keep in mind when we say that this first phrase we're looking at today, to expose everyone to the love of Jesus, we understand that that's why Jesus came. It tells us in 1 John chapter 1:18, we looked at that over the Christmas series, that in the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. And he says that no one has ever seen, in John 1:18, no one has ever seen God, but Jesus, the one and only, who is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known to us. So Jesus came to expose us to the love of the Father, the will of the Father, who the Father is, the mercy of the Father, the grace of the Father, the justice of the Father. And when we look at that phrase, to expose everyone, we're going to unpack that a little bit, the everyone part. Just so you guys know, as I mentioned in my email, you guys read my email yesterday, most of you? Okay. And I mentioned in the subject that it's the hardest or the worst beginning or end of a year to a new year. And I'm not going to get into all the details of that. But it reminds me of what I said a few weeks ago when we talked about Jesus and what it meant to have someone who came and walked in our shoes, who became flesh, and he could understand everything that we've gone through. And I was reminded of that this week as I was thinking about what I was going through, reminded of those words and comforted and going back to the Lord saying, Lord, you know what I'm going through. And I'm not the only one, because I know, as Timothy was praying for some of those in our church who are sick, there are many of us who at this very moment are going through a very difficult time. And this one message in particular about love is exactly where I need the Lord to speak to me. Because if I can be real with you, this week I said to myself, I don't know if I said it to the Lord, but I said it to myself, Lord, I have dedicated my life, or I've said to myself, you know, I've dedicated my life to trying to keep people from hell and into heaven. But this week I said that, but this one particular person, this might be the first time that I would actually be willing to send someone to hell. Now that's, again, I want to be real with you, because that's what God is dealing with me. As I look at this, as I come to the text that was already planned to be preached on in our mission statement that says to expose everyone to the love of God, to the love of Jesus. And even as I prepare this morning to walk out on stage, reminding myself, because when, and the reason is that this is someone who is hurting my family, hurting one of my children. And as a parent, you'll do anything for your children. So as I'm getting ready to come out on stage, and I'm reading this, and this is the message for this morning, and I can't help but escape the love of God, where Jesus on the cross says, Father, forgive them. That he sent us, like the parable that he talked about, where he sent his son to those who were the tenants of his land, and they beat up everybody else, and when they saw the son, they said, this is his son. If we take him and we kill him, we will then possess his property. And the father still sent his son to them. So Jesus came to expose us, undeserving and unappreciative, to the love of the Father. So what does it mean to expose? To expose means, you know, to expose everyone to the love of the Father. To expose means to make accessible, visible, or open to view, to display or to exhibit, right? So that's basically it. It's not just for the sake of defining it. You can use it in a negative sense. Most, it's used equally in a negative sense, to be exposed to the elements. This morning, if you, last night, Christy and I were driving, it's like, you know, in the single digits last night, and we said, you know what, we better have an emergency kit in our car. We need to have some blankets. We need to have some granola bars or things that, you know, unperishable things. Just in case we stall, just in case something happens, we can survive. Because if we are exposed to these temperatures for a very long period of time, we will die. Same thing with the heat. If you're exposed to the elements. But we want to expose people to the love of God, the grace of God. And it's easy when it's people that we love or people that are like us or people that we relate to. It's harder when they're people that are harder to love. But Jesus loves us all and calls us to love everyone and to display that love to everyone. It is the greatest commandment. It is the greatest commandment. Jesus said, when they asked him, Jesus, what is the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Now, the Jews knew that. Old Testament, they knew that. If anything, they were probably testing him. But he answered correctly. And then he says right away, he always followed up with the second one. He would never let anyone interrupt before he said the second part. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? In these two is fulfilled all the law and the prophets. One of the men who asked Jesus that said, well, then who is my neighbor? Wanting to justify himself. And then Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember, the Jews despise the Samaritans. And at the end of the parable, after talking about the three men who were traveling, one was a Levite, one was a priest, one was a Samaritan, they all walked by this Jew who had been beaten up and left for dead. The priest walks by, the Levite walks by, leaves his fellow Jew there in the dirt. But the Samaritan picks him up and takes care of him, invests his own money in his care, and nurses him back to health. And then Jesus asked the man, who then is this man's neighbor? And the Jew said, the Samaritan. And then Jesus says, go and do the same, right? He's letting them know, this is who I'm calling you to love. So we are to expose the love of God to everyone. But we can only expose others to what we ourselves are being exposed to. Right? We can only expose to others what we ourselves are being exposed to. We can only explain to others what we ourselves are have explained or seen or experienced ourselves. So we can only expose to others. If we want to know the love of God, we need to be able to expose others to his love. In Ephesians chapter 3, 17 and 19, Paul prays for us, prays for the church. And it's the he says, I pray that you, being grounded or rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. So listen to what he's saying. He's talking about the love of God, and he's talking to God's holy people, the church. And even though they are born again and saved, he still knows that they still don't grasp the depths of his love, his infinite love. So he's asking, I pray that you will continue to be rooted and established, grounded in this, that you may know how deep it is, how wide it is, how long it is, how high it is. This love that surpasses knowledge. And that's interesting. As I was just kind of thinking, Lord, what does that mean? Because we put a lot of stake in knowledge, especially now in science and looking at the universe and the origins of the universe and in some sense trying to reason out God, because we no longer have a reason for God because we can explain the origin of the universe, although that's still debatable. But here, see, this is what he says, but we know that the knowledge behind creation is marvelous. It's amazing. It's incredible. I remember a pastor talking about how he subscribes to science magazines because he wants to hear about all the discoveries, because he reads them and thinks, wow, the glory of God, he is amazing. Yet this love surpasses that knowledge. It's greater than that knowledge, and it reminds me of the song that sometimes we wrestle with, which is a recent song, The Reckless Love of God. And we wrestle with it because we know God's love, we wrestle with the word reckless, but I think that's kind of what the author of the song is relating to. He's trying in his own words to relate to what Paul is saying about the love of God that surpasses knowledge. In other words, maybe it makes no sense that this God would love us and send his son to people that would kill him. Yet he does it anyway. It makes no sense. I would not send my son or my daughter to anyone if I knew they were going to harm them. Surpasses knowledge. It makes no sense. So I want to show you a quick video. I showed this to you, I think in 2020. But it relates a little bit of one of the stories where this love, remember, this is the love. If we want to expose people to others, then we need ourselves to be exposed to this love.
Amigos, sejam bem-vindos e fiquem à vontade. Hoje é dia muito feliz para nossa família. Comam e bebam todos vocês. Aproveitem o banquete.
Esse regime dos pecados só pode ser.
Por que estão murmurando?
Eles estão dizendo que essa mulher é uma prostituta.
Estão falando a verdade.
Então não poderia estar aqui.
For shame, lay it all down, lay it all down. When your cares have buried you and there's nothing left to do, lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus.
Carried on, but your heart was tired. Feel the word and felt the fire.
Lay it all down, lay it all down.
Filled with all those anxious thoughts and your doubts became your God.
Lay it all down, lay it all down at the feet of Jesus.
Como Jesus pode permitir que uma pecadora lhe beije os pés?
Se esse homem fosse o profeta que pensei, ele saberia que tipo de mulher ela é.
Simão, tenho algo a lhe dizer.
É mesmo? Diga então.
Dois homens deviam um credor. Um devia 500 moedas de prata e outro 50. Nenhum dos dois tinha como pagar. Por isso o credor perdoou a dívida de ambos. Qual deles teria ficado mais agradecido?
Acho que o que mereceu o maior perdão.
Tem razão. Vê essa mulher. Eu vim à sua casa e você não trouxe água para os meus pés. Ela, porém, derramou lágrimas dos meus pés e os enxugou com os cabelos. Você nem me cumprimentou direito e desde a hora que cheguei aqui, ela não se cansa de beijar meus pés. Você não me recebeu como é nosso costume, derramando azeite em minha cabeça, mas ela perfumou meus pés. Não foi assim mesmo? A razão de tudo é que ela foi perdoada de muitos pecados. Por isso está tão agradecida. Quem recebe pouco perdão, mostra pequena gratidão. Eu perdoo seus pecados.
Quem ele pensa que é para perdoar pecados?
Sua fé a salvou. Vá em paz.
The love that surpasses knowledge. So in that story of the woman, the sinful woman who comes and anoints Jesus' feet, we see that love helps us to see clearly. Love helps us to see clearly. See, the Pharisee, Simon, he wasn't able to see clearly. He saw a sinner. He saw her sin. That's all he could see. He wasn't able to see her clearly. And part of that was because he wasn't able to see himself clearly. He wasn't able to realize and acknowledge his condition. That before God, he and that woman are in the same position. They are both separated from him. They are both objects of his wrath. They are both sinners. But he wasn't able to see that. All he could see was her sin. He couldn't see the person. That's what God needs to do in my heart right now and needs to do in many of our hearts is get to the point where we see not the sin, but the person. The way God sees them. I've prayed this many times. Father, help me to see the world through your eyes. And it's something that I particularly need to be praying right now. Help me to see this person through your eyes. So love helps us to see clearly, to see them clearly, but also to see God clearly. That's what Paul is referring to in Ephesians, that we would understand, that we would be exposed and experienced and know how great God's love is, that he would save a sinner like me, and that he loves everyone. And therefore, we need to dwell. John 15, abiding in the vine, in his love. If you remain in my love, right, I will remain in you. So we need to abide in him and experience what his love is. And that comes back again to being in his presence. That's why dwelling is so important, so that we can see clearly the love of God. And then from that love and that experience, share it with others. Love also overcomes obstacles. Love overcomes obstacles. So there was the obstacle, and we see in the life of Jesus, in this particular story, the obstacle that she was a sinner, she was a prostitute, she was a woman in that culture. She went and let her hair down. I mean, that in itself, for a woman to let her hair down in front of men would be a reason for a married man to divorce his wife. So she had to overcome all of those obstacles walking into that room, that her love was able to overcome all of that. What would people think? And Jesus didn't care either. We see that so many times with Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, who was despised as a traitor from his own people. And he had to overcome so many obstacles to get to see Jesus. His height, he had to climb up a tree. And then Jesus overcame obstacles by saying to him, "Let's get down from the tree, Zacchaeus. I'm going to go and eat at your house today." Jesus had to overcome all the thoughts, all the opinions of everybody in the crowd. What would they say if I did that? How many times do we do things because of what other people might think, or we don't do things because of what other people might think or say? If they see us with those people, if they see us doing that, if we don't respond the way they expect us to. So love overcomes obstacles of diversity, of economic obstacles, of fear. Think about how many obstacles there are. What are the obstacles that have kept you from experiencing or expressing God's love to someone? And when we talk about the hard people to love, like this particular case, the woman, the sinful woman that enters into the house and anoints Jesus with her tears and with this vial of perfume, the person that I'm referring to, yeah, those are all the hard cases, but those cases are normally very few. I can focus on that as a reason to not express the love of God or expose people to the love of God, but the fact is that those are very few people in our lives. The vast majority of people that are in our lives are people that shouldn't be that difficult for us to expose to God's love. What we want to do is, through living and demonstrating the love of Jesus, make it extremely difficult for people to reject God. We want to make Syracuse the hardest place to go to hell from. Love speaks the truth in love. Love speaks the truth in love. That's Ephesians also in chapter 4. Speaking the truth in love. So I wanted to mention this part too, because sometimes we mistake love or being silent or not confronting as love. It's not. There is a time to speak out. Jesus confronted. Jesus, one of the women who was caught in adultery, thrown at his feet, he showed her grace. But then he said, go and sin no more. He recognized that what she was doing was sinning. Another man who came up to him, he said, stop sinning or something worse is going to happen to you. He called out the Pharisees and the religious leaders. So he spoke the truth. Even when he talked to Simon in that parable or in that passage, that experience that we just saw in the video, even when he spoke to him, he spoke the truth to Simon. But he spoke the truth in love because he loved Simon. So Simon, he kept his mouth quiet until that moment, because now Simon spoke out about this woman and he says, Simon, where's your love? Where's your compassion? Where's your respect? Where's your honor? I came in and you didn't wash my feet. You didn't give me a kiss. You didn't anoint me. Right? So he spoke the truth. He called, he confronted Simon, but he does it in love, not with a judgmental or critical spirit. So there are times, and there are times that Jesus stayed silent because he knew the person wasn't ready. But when it was the right time, those who we love, those who are in our church, those who are in our family, those who are, those God has placed in our lives, if we really want to expose them to the love of God, we speak the truth when we have to. But we do it in love. And if you can't do it in love, then maybe, like Jesus, you remain silent until you can. That's something you can pray for me about right now. Love takes intentional action. The woman was intentional. And she didn't wait. She knew where Jesus was, and she went. And she went intentionally to anoint him. I don't know about the tears part, but definitely the oil, the perfume, I mean, she went to anoint him with. Jesus was intentional when he calls Zacchaeus down from the tree. And there's another moment that I love. It's the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Jesus overcame the obstacle, again, of a woman who had had five men, five husbands, and now was living with a sixth man who was not her husband. And this woman, Jesus is intentional of meeting her at this specific time in this specific place. And he speaks to her with love. Remember, it says in 1 Corinthians 13, love does not, it seeks to honor. It rejoices in the truth. And Jesus confronted her and spoke the truth to her. But he did it in a way that was also intentional and honoring. He had all the disciples leave to go get supplies, because he knew that what he was going to say to this woman and what this woman had gone through, she would never say, she would never engage him if all of those people were there. And he didn't want to expose her sin to everybody else. He didn't want to call her out and embarrass her, but he wanted to call her out to heal her. So he was intentional about doing that in the correct way. So how are we or you expressing God's love so people around you are exposed to it? in your notes there, I mentioned all the different things that our church is doing. These are just some of them, right? We want to abide in the Father's love, and then through the ministries, because if we're abiding in his love, it will flow out of our lives, but then through the ministries of the church, the pop-up pregnancy center, the reading clinic, our kids ministry, Kids Zone, Tot Zone, our youth ministry, small group ministry, pantry ministry, and many others. These are all ways that you can intentionally, if you are in any of these ministries, you come to expose people to the love of Jesus. I mean, it would be sad or bad. And it happens because we're human and we're flawed to come to Kid Zone with a bad attitude and make a kid cry and not want to come back to church anymore. That would not be a very good thing. To go to small group and snap at somebody in your small group. Again, we're human and those things can happen. So we show grace. But especially if you are in ministry, if you are the leader, if you are facilitating, you understand I am coming in here and no matter what is happening in my life during the week, I am here now to expose these people to the love of Jesus and the grace of God. And I don't want to do anything that will cause them to draw away from him. And then in other opportunities. So if I want to show you one quick video to close. There's an Asian insurance commercial or insurance company that has made some incredibly meaningful commercials. Again, they're not Christian commercials, but they have a Christian message, and it relates to this message today.
เขาจะได้อะไรถ้าเขาทำแบบนี้ทุกวันเขาจะไม่ได้อะไรเลยไม่ได้รวยขึ้นไม่ได้ออกทีวีไม่มีใครรู้จักไม่ได้มีชื่อเสียงที่มากขึ้นเพราะสิ่งที่เขาได้คือได้แค่ความรู้สึกได้เห็นความสุขได้เข้าใจได้ความรักในสิ่งที่เงินซื้อไม่ได้ได้โลกที่สวยงามกว่าเดิมในชีวิตคุณอะไรคือสิ่งที่คุณต้องการมากที่สุด
ในวิดีโอ obviously he'sThey're saying just for his own pleasure or his own satisfaction to feel good, emotions of satisfaction, of helping others, But we understand that we do it because, like it says, we love because he first loved us. And to hear at the end those words that we all long to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy and the pleasure of your master. If an insurance company can get it, shouldn't we, as the church, get it? So through the ministries of the church, and then on your own, make time for people. And be fully in the moment when you are with them. Look at them in the eyes. When you ask them, how are you doing, don't just ask as a courtesy. You know how people have asked us as we've come back from our trip, we had a vacation and came back, how was your New Year? How was your trip? And I say, well, it wasn't very good. I'm honest. I don't just say, oh, it was okay. I mean, I don't go into all the details. But there's normally that, I'm sorry. Like, we don't even know what to say because we normally expect just the rhetorical, that was good, it was okay, it was fine. Let's be transparent. Let's be real with each other. Let's bring all of our junk, the good and the bad and the ugly. And let's approach others wanting to also know how we can expose and minister the love and the presence of Jesus to them. And if we do that in our church, if we do that in our city, that's what we want to be defined as. A church that loves. So will you pray with me? Father, we want to pray that we would be like our dad. For God so loved the world that he gave. That we would be like you. That we would so love Syracuse that we would give. That we would give of our time, that we would give of our energy for love. Not just for growth or for success or for results, but just for love. For people, the people that you see, help us to see them through your eyes. Help us to see them, Father, the way you see them. Lord, we want to love those in the church better too. As I mentioned, there are many. We go through different cycles. This year, I'm having a rough time. Next year, somebody else will. So help us to love those and support those that are in our body, in our fellowship, and to love them well. How can we love those outside if we don't love those inside? But then you tell us, if you only love those inside, but don't love those outside, then how does that show true love? Even the pagans do that. So help us to love everyone well. Those in the house and those outside of it. With the love of Jesus. And where we are weak, where we're shy, where we're afraid, where we're timid, give us the strength. Give us the support. Give us our Aaron. Give us our Elisha. Give us our Peter, our John, our James to help us to do it together. To not do it alone. And let the world know. Lord, make Syracuse one of the hardest places to go to hell from. In Jesus' name.